Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another post-game podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. I am over here trying to warm myself up, both mentally and physically, with some 63% ABV bullet barrel strength as we record this.
Must be nice.
It's pretty good. It's nice. But before we delve into the inevitable awfulness of tonight's game against Kansas State, you want to share a little bit about what you did this evening?
Yeah, I took in most of the second half at the library bar to help judge the second annual library chili cook-off. Ran into friend of the show, Rob Bro. He was there as a contestant. There were some other guys there from 1340 and from Town Square Media. It was great to meet them, hang out with them for a little bit. It was when Rob and I first started talking, it was more like, what's happening? Like, as we're watching the game, it was like middle of the third quarter, like, this is not good. And then the game, we're just like, man, this sucks.
It somehow got worse.
It did. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. As difficult as it is to believe that it could get worse, it somehow did, surprisingly. Or unsurprising, depending on your thoughts on the program. I just want to take a couple of minutes to talk about the game, and we're going to spend the rest of our time describing every possible and imaginable way that Kingsbury should not make the trip back to Lubbock tonight. I'm going there. If you like Cliff and you want him to keep around, this is probably not your episode.
I might fight for him a little bit, but it's really – everyone knows how much I like Cliff, but it's getting tough. So I may just be silent for a while I contemplate things.
If you have sensitive ears, this also may not be the episode for you. This may be episode 2 where we get the explicit tag.
Okay.
I don't know. And maybe we don't get that fired up anymore because at this point I'm done, man. As much as I thought it was done last year, like as defeating as that was, man, this year, I don't see how you can go on keeping the coaching staff that you have with what you're seeing now. And let's talk about now. You scored 6 points against probably the worst defense in the conference.
Yep. In the first quarter.
6 points. 2 field goals. You were kept from scoring a touchdown. I mean, I would say it's been a while since it's happened, but it happened last year.
Right.
Against a mediocre TCU team. A team that tried to give you the ball 7 times. And you scored 3 points then. Kansas State scored 21 points tonight, which is their season average. And you still got beat by 2 touchdowns. I don't know what else to say besides that was just, it was a dumpster fire. You were awful. You were top 15 offense in like advanced stats, not just like total yards, which is just a garbage stat anyways. Like in every meaningful offensive statistic, you're ranked pretty highly, enough to keep your offense top 15. You had 180 yards of offense tonight and 6 points. And like I said, against the absolute worst defense in the conference.
I thought it was when the game started and we immediately started driving. I thought this was going to go like I thought, because if y'all remember, I was thinking, man, we're going to blow them out 3 scores. You know, this is a team that scored 17 or 24 points in the fourth quarter last week. They put up 46 against OU. This is a team that can score even with Bowman out. And they were rolling on those first couple drives and had to settle for field goals, so that was disappointing. But I thought, yeah, but at least we can move the ball on these guys. And then that was about it.
Yeah, you scored on your first two offensive drives. You got inexplicably stopped in the red zone both of those times. You got close, and you're just like, I'm done. We're just going to kick a field goal here. The game, I guess, this is a point that Rob made. Play of the game, he said, it was probably going for it on fourth down in your territory in the first half. Again, second week in a row, that's backfired. Because Duffy bobbles a snap. It was a good snap. It wasn't like that was Stawarz' fault. I mean, it hit him right in the hands, like waist high. And then he gets sacked, like loses 20 yards. Kansas State goes and drives and scores on that possession.
See, I didn't see that. We had pictures today, which by the time we were finished with the pictures, it was 38 degrees and wind was probably 20 miles an hour. So it was not the most ideal day for it, but we were already set up. Everyone was dressed. Everyone was in the vehicle. And so we toughed it out. And so I missed a few things. And I guess that was right before halftime.
Yeah, it was what set up the one touchdown of the game.
Yeah, the lone touchdown.
Yeah.
So, how about that safety? How bad did that look on TV? Because I heard that on the radio coming back.
If you had watched punts leading up to that, you saw this coming. Because that guy came on the fourth punt. Now, granted, there was the first punt happened twice. They had some kind of penalty and they had a re-kick.
It was a delay of game.
More infuriating penalties coming out of a timeout, or like a situation where you know what's happening. No reason for you to get a delay of game. Anyways, so that punt happened twice. This guy comes off the, if you're on offense on the right side, and he swims around. That may not be like a great term for it, but he moves around Eli Howard, who's blocking in front of Penizzolo, barely misses the first two kicks, and then gets his hand on the third one. So, like, you saw it coming. Like, they're going to do it. They're going to block one of these punts. And then, you know, it happened.
Yeah, in the end zone. Good timing on their part.
Another, I guess, like, there was so much, like, vintage Cliff Kingsbury today. Like, year one garbage that should have been put to bed years ago. The give up a late score in the second quarter and then let them score the first drive of the third quarter. You were going to do that. And I think that's when you intercepted it in the end zone. But then you gave the ball back on a fumble. And then I think Kansas State scored a field goal after that. Your last possession going into halftime, you actually had the ball last. You decide just to kneel out the clock. You've got like a minute left and you decide just to run the clock out. Like, that is such garbage. And then you couldn't even do that right. You got a delay of game trying to take a freaking knee.
Yeah, I was listening to the radio at that point, so I couldn't quite get a visual of what they were trying to describe, because they said that they basically just had to, there wasn't enough room for Duffy to kneel it. They basically had to kind of do a sneak just to get a playoff and then not get a safety.
That was the last one, because here's another vintage, and this has been happening all season. Daquan Bowman back there on a kick return somehow misjudges a kick. He's like deep in the end zone, and then like not even in the broadcast shot, comes sprinting out to try to catch the ball, misses it, luckily picks it up around the goal line, turns around, gets to about the five, and gets tackled.
Jeez.
Like, why that team, why that guy is still on the punt return team or kick return team, I have no idea. As bad as, or sorry, as good as special teams have been this season,
Yes.
this is the one thing, like, Shire, what the F are you looking at, man? Like, you've got to find somebody else that can field a dang kick.
Well, and we've got to, I do want to acknowledge that before we lay into them too much, that the special teams, the first couple games, I think we gave them a lot of grief, but aside from, until this game, they've really done their job. They've played well. Today, Panizzolo, of course, the safety we've already discussed. I think he had a punt land in the end zone that could have easily not landed in the end zone for a touchback. I think Hatfield had a couple of short kicks on kickoffs. Of course, he made his field goals, which is great. And then, of course, the Bowman issues that just seem to keep coming up.
Like, I don't have like, my issue with the special teams is not with the kickers today. Like, Hatfield was good, Panizzolo was fine. That block, I don't think was his fault. It was set because he was doing the like. He was like in a rhythm on all of his punts, right?
Yeah.
And the wizard of special teams, Bill Snyder, figured out like, well, this guy always does the same thing. Like, if he's going for distance, he moves to his right. It's like three steps and a kick. You've got plenty of time to get there if you can get around the blocker. And Eli Howard was just lost. And then the return, like I said, the kickers, I think were fine today. It was just Eli Howard and Daquan Bowman. Let's see, what else you want to talk about? Oh,
I
you
wanted,
gave up a touchdown. It got called
yeah.
back. You gave up a touchdown to an offensive lineman. Like,
I
what the
know.
f David Gibbs, dude, tell me what the F is happening to your defense this year, because
If
again,
71 is lined up on the side, on the outside, something's coming.
I mean, again, there were times in this game where you had absolutely no faith your defense was gonna get a stop against, again, probably one of the worst teams that you will face all season. Like, this is like, of the 12 games, this is probably like the 11th worst team you're going to face, just ahead of Lamar. And you weren't even in this game. Like,
Well, Tech held them to their average. Is that good?
then you were held five touchdowns under your average.
Oh, yeah. No, I think, I'm not as down on the defense after this game, because they did come up with some stops. They came up with an interception. They did fine. I'm not as down on them. I did want to pick your brain on this before we go to questions and stuff, and just kind of your diatribe. I feel like you're ready to launch into. What did you think about Carter coming in? Because it seems like at first, that's what everybody wanted. They'd seen enough of Duffy. He wasn't going to be effective. He wasn't getting it done. Carter comes in, and then it seems like a lot of the same people. Well, that was just desperate. Why do you do that? Why do you even try that? And I think, of course, all of it has to do with him fumbling that first snap. That's gonna affect your hindsight. But what were your thoughts on it when you first saw him come in? Or did you notice that? Because I know you were
No,
your heels deep into judging some chili at that point.
I noticed it, and I was like, well, as he was coming in, I was like, well, that move makes sense, right?
I thought so too. I thought so too.
And the four plays he ran
were awful.
No, sorry, five. There were five plays.
Yeah.
Four of them were either a turnover or a near turnover.
Yes.
And then he ran for 5 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, I
don't know what you do there. I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to do with it.
I don't know.
Awful.
Because, yeah, it makes sense to try to make the move to Carter. I mean, it may have been a little too late at that point. I mean, sorry, I'm trying to figure out what I want to say about that. I mean, hindsight, yeah, it looks terrible. Like, why did you put Carter in, or why is he so bad? The move makes sense, right? It just, he fumbled the first snap. Kansas State recovered that. The next play, he nearly throws a pick six. The next play, he nearly throws another interception. I mean, I guess you could have tried Colt Garrett.
Right, which would have seemed... might have seemed desperate.
Well, it would have gone past desperation. It looked like you're giving up.
Yeah, you're just like saying, screw it. Let's see what the young kid can do.
But I think any time where you're conceding your possession to get to an end of a half, like anytime you do that, you're giving up. Right. If you don't believe like your offense or your team can take care of the ball for a minute or 45 seconds or 12 seconds, that you're more concerned about turning the ball over than just being able to gain a few yards. Like there's an issue there.
And right. And I like to think that it has to do with Duffy being there, but he's been wired this way. I think even when Mahomes was there, he would do this stuff. I know he did it last year with Shimonek, and Kansas State was one of the most, criticized times he did it. I wasn't that critical of it when he did it last year. They had the chance to run a few plays to try to, instead of playing for overtime, they had a chance to run a few plays and try to get downfield and maybe score, but they didn't. And that's kind of his MO. Whether you like it or not. And I was going to try to blame it on having Duffy in the game, but I don't think that's it. I just think that's how he chooses to end a half. And I'm not sure why he does that consistently.
I'm not going to put the research into this. This is like my recollection of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that Kingsbury's team has taken a knee where you're not ahead, you're losing that game. Right? Like, I could spend the time and go through all of the drive charts from 2013 to now and see, like, when you take a knee. But, like, I can't tell you a time where you've taken a knee to end, like, the first half or to run out the clock in the fourth quarter where you're not ahead. Like, whether you're just trying to get to halftime or you're trying to get to overtime, where you've actually won that game.
That would be a good stat to look up, and I don't think it's going to turn out very well for Kingsbury.
The other thing that the broadcast, I noticed from the broadcast booth, they were talking about, apparently they found out somehow that Kingsbury's coaching staff has like an iPad, right? And every time it's fourth down, they can tell, they say, oh, it's green, we're going to go for it, or it's red, we're not going to go for it. They have some kind of analytics running, some kind of statistical analysis,
right?
To help them.
I heard that too.
Well, if you're doing that, like, why don't you take a look at like the statistical analysis of you taking a knee? Because damn it, anytime you've taken a knee when you're not winning, you lose the damn game. You need to quit doing that. You're just throwing the white flag. You're just waving it, man. You're like, nope, I quit. We're done. We're done playing. Everybody sees it. Everybody feels it. Your team feels it. It's garbage. Mm. And I would say to stop doing it, but dude's going to be out of here like in a week. So maybe he doesn't do that at his next job, his next school. But here's some stats from our good friend Don Williams, and then we'll get to some of your questions. He tweeted out a few minutes ago. Oh gosh, Tech had 150 passing yards a day. It was the lowest since 2010, where they had 144. This was a year one of Tommy Tuberville. The total offense of 181 yards was also the lowest since you got 144 total yards also in 2010 against Texas. You've been held to your lowest offensive output in 9 seasons by, again, the worst defense you've probably ever played in the Big 12 Conference.
Yikes.
Like, there's no reason that you should have done what you did today, because last week, against a much better defense, you put up 40-something points.
Well, I think it was 34, but I know what you're saying.
Sure.
Jeez. Well, that's why I came in thinking that Tech would have a chance to really just roll on these guys. And I really wasn't worried about it. And hell, maybe they thought the same thing.
You absolutely should have rolled this game. Like, we talked about it in the preview post. I mean, I don't know, man. Let me pull up the defensive ratings really quickly. Just for my own gratification here.
Okay. I did want to point out that there were a couple of good defensive plays, since I don't want to bury everyone and be completely negative, because it's hard. It's hard not to be after games like this. But I did want to point out, you know, I think we've talked about the interception, Fry's one-hand interception in the end zone. That was great. And Coleman had a deflection in the end zone that saved us a touchdown.
He also gave up a dumb touchdown too.
Oh yeah, when Fry gave up one too. I remember that as well. But it was just maybe not a touchdown, but it was a big third down.
Okay.
And the other part is that we've lost 4 in a row again.
Yeah. So really quickly, I was a little wrong on my telling you that Kansas State's the worst defense you've played. Coming in at 101st defense is Houston. Baylor, which you'll play next week, is 100. Kansas is 97. You're at 91, which of course you don't play yourself. And then Kansas State's at 82. So they're okay. Better than some of the teams you've already played. Oklahoma State's defense is better than Kansas State. You put up 41 points at their house. Oklahoma's is better at 67. You put up
46 on them.
West Virginia, I don't even care that I said it wrong again. 54.
I didn't even notice.
And you put up 34, whatever it was, against them. Let's see, who else have you played? TCU, 30th ranked defense. You put up 14. Put up more points on the road. Iowa State, 26th. More points on the road. And I believe, maybe, where's Texas? I've already passed Texas somewhere. Either way, you should have done a whole lot better than you did. You were giving up plays. Sorry, the way you performed tonight was a lot like some of the most frustrating things you've seen from Cliff Kingsbury's tenure as a head coach. Things that would otherwise, like, had this game not have happened the way it did, you could probably point to some progression, some improvement. Tonight feels like just a rehash of a lot of like the worst things that you've ever seen. And so with
right.
that, I would feel, yeah, you still got one more week to win a sixth game. I don't think it matters. I was in the Slack, I was a little salty. I still stand by it. I think Brandon Jones should be fired. I think Cliff Kingsbury should be fired. obviously, if Kingsbury's gone, then everybody else is gone. Gibbs, his defense has fallen off the face of the earth. As good as we think it was, I think it's astoundingly bad again somehow. I mean, yeah, you're missing Dakota Allen, but if your defense, like the entire defense crumbles because you're missing one player, then that's on the coaching staff. I think you've had plenty of time to work on that. So yeah, let's get to some of your questions. What do you say?
I'm ready. Let's dive in.
Adele says, my heart is broken. I can't eat enough. Haagen-Dazs to dissolve the pain. Yeah, I don't know if Haagen-Dazs is going to do it. Kyle Lang, I've literally got nothing left. I wish they would cancel the rest of the season. Well, there's only one game, so I don't have to endure the pain of Kingsbury losing his last game to Baylor while they get bowl eligible against us. Yeah, let's talk about Baylor for a second. They won one game last year.
Yeah, they have the same record we do.
And we all, when Baylor hired Matt Rhule, we're like, that's a terrible hire, right? And he won one game in his first year. Like, yep, see, he's going to suck. Year two, 5 going on 6 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Noted sports appreciator. This is at Wild Wild Chase. Feels like we just watched the funeral for the Cliff era at Kingsbury. I would agree. I'm just doing these like rapid fire, so if you've got something, you got to jump in.
Nah, go for it.
Basketball fan at Reed Stewart. It's a real bummer that this is how Kingsbury will be remembered in Lubbock. Yeah, I mean, as a player, I guess he gained some favor with the fans. This was before my time as a Texas Tech fan. And I think as a coach, you look at, you know, going 7-0 in the first season and then some really frustrating 5.5 seasons to follow that.
Yep, including lots of November collapses.
So, yes, speaking of 5.5 seasons of frustration, after tonight, Kingsbury is 35-39, well below 500. You're not going to reach that this year. Your conference record is 19-34.
Oh.
Which includes, let's see, 6 years against Kansas. Those are all wins. We already touched on it last week that you've only won 7 conference home games in 6 years. Which is surprising that you win more conference games on the road than you do at home. Okay, Tate Baumgartner at T-Bomb15. So do you give Cliff a pass because of the Bowman injury, or is it time? If you're going to give him a pass, then you need to give him a pass for the McLean Carter injury, because that happened first. Like, he was a starter going into the season. And then you saw Carter coming tonight, not prepared at all. That's solely on the quarterback's coach and preparation. The other things that point to non-improvement were happening outside of Bowman's control, right? The defense the past couple weeks had nothing to do with Alan Bowman not being on the field. Like, you knowing you're going to give up a touchdown to Texas last week had nothing to do with Alan Bowman wearing jeans and a t-shirt last week.
Yeah.
I feel like Cliff is better than this. If we play our best, we are. But at what point do you have to win the games anyway? I hate it. Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about like that old cliche, you are what your record says you are. Well, 35-39, 19-34 in the Big 12. That's barely better than 50%. Sorry, if I could do math, I could tell you that it is 56%.
Yes.
Tyler Timmons at Ty Timmon. Remember when I said we would win by double digits? Yeah, that was fun. Hashtag it's basketball season. Yeah, you got an interesting non-conference tournament this week, starting Monday. USC, and then the winner, or sorry, your result will match up with the result of the Nebraska. Missouri State. Thank you. Red, red reset, man. Am I a bad fan for packing up my Tech flag and putting my Tech jersey away for the year?
I wouldn't say you're a bad fan by any means, but that is, I don't know. Just go ahead and fly that flag because it's still okay to hate Baylor.
I've got somebody in my family that wants Texas Tech to hire Art Briles. And I was like, I try to throw everything at him that I could about Briles allowed what happened at Baylor to happen, either because he knew it and didn't care, or didn't know it and should have. And that, like, didn't faze him. I was like, all right, dude, we need to not talk for a minute. I'm kind of shifting my thought on telling fans what to do. I was kind of critical about fans leaving early. And then when I start thinking about, like, your 7 conference home wins in 6 years, you know what you're getting. You can see when a game turns against Kingsbury and this team. You've seen it for 6 years. I don't have anything to tell you. I have no authority to stand up and say, no, you can't do that, or no, you shouldn't do that. Cooper Burnett, I was at the game, unbelievably cold. Can y'all remember a worse offensive performance since Leach's first year? Well, I gave you a couple from Don Williams from 2010. With the possible exception of the 2011 OSU game, I can't remember any.
Well, last year against TCU.
Surprisingly, those two games in 2010 were worse than 2011 OSU, the 66-6. Last year, you only put up 3 points against TCU. You gained more than 180 yards.
I did want to talk about that game a little bit because the parallels are really striking. At that point, the same thing had just happened. Everybody was kind of on the, maybe not on the fence, but the fan base was already divided. TCU was coming to town. You thought, okay, this is their backup quarterback. We've really got a shot to win this one. And I left that game thinking that was the last time Cliff's going to coach at the Jones. And we went 5-6 at that point, I think. Because I think the next game was Texas, right?
Yeah, where you won in Austin on Thanksgiving night.
Right, and that was our last game of the season, or did we play Baylor?
You'd already played Baylor. You played them like early, like in October or something.
Okay. So my parallel still works. I thought, well, I should have thought this out before I said it. But I think at the end of the TCU game last year where you played like complete crap offensively, and then at the end of this game this year, same exact thing. You came away with 6 points instead of 3, big whoop. But you're 5-6. You're headed into your final game of the season. And beating Baylor is not going to be enough to – I don't think it's going to win Hocut over. I don't think – I know it's not going to win the majority of the fans over at this point. I want Cliff to succeed so bad. I want him to be our coach. I don't know if I want him to be our coach anymore now. It's just been so much of the same thing that we've seen over and over. Last week I kind of went into some injuries and stuff, kind of down the moral victory lane. I'm not going to do that this week because it's still the same pattern. You know, we saw this exact game last year against TCU. The only difference was we could kick field goals this year. Otherwise, we'd have really been screwed. And I can't explain why. At least TCU's defense is good, but it was also at home. You know, it's just you go back and forth. We had this exact same 11th game last year, and it was just as frustrating then as it is this year. And it just kind of is a parallel to, well, are things really even going to change if everyone comes back next year? Which I wanted to bring this up too. Now I'm on a tangent, I know, but if Wesley comes back next year, because now, you know, what's keeping him from going? I do agree. Someone else mentioned it too on Twitter, and I think we've mentioned it on the podcast, that he is a little bit, he could stand to put on some weight. You know, I'm sure there's some stuff he could do to make his draft stock higher, but what's keeping him from leaving after a potential 5-win season and a new coaching change? Why would he want to stick around?
I think the biggest thing that I heard was just his draft stock was not high enough. That regardless of the head coach, he could still be better, and he can improve his game. He can improve his physical stature to be more pro ready. So if you haven't read the awards post yet, you should. Keith, an excellent job. I wanted to read some of the comments from that.
Oh yeah, go ahead. I think that's a good idea.
So Mike_TTU_92, I refuse to believe that this team could be worse than 6-6, no matter who we hired. It has size, it has depth, it has athletes, but it plays so undisciplined and mentally weak. Cliff is soft. He works hard, but he's soft and his team is soft. It's time to change leadership. I agree. I think back to the point of taking a knee when you've got time to do things, you don't have confidence. I mean, at the very least, it shows a lack of confidence, and that trickles down to the rest of your team. Fat, sexy, bald guy. Love that handle.
It's not me.
It wasn't me either. I'm not bald, but.
I like that you're not denying anything else.
Well, sure. There are two other things that may or may not, or I guess three. There are four words that describe him there. I'm just saying I'm not bald. I might have been the last guy still on the Cliff bandwagon, but I jumped off tonight. I could make excuses for the last three losses, but this was a total shit show against a very bad team, and I can no longer justify my loyalty and support for head coach Cliff Kingsbury. You all know that I was very harsh on Kingsbury last year. I was probably ready to go with a new coach after last year, maybe even before then. I talked myself into this team being better. I believed it could be better. I saw what I thought to be improvements and things heading in the right direction this season. And yes, it's one game, but I think today like wipes out anything, any positive you were trying to point to this season. You have a game like today and it's all gone. Because you have to build a whole lot of trust, right, to overcome, well, here's all the things he was doing wrong, but here's how we're trying to be better. And then, like, you fall off the wagon. It's like, well, how many times are we going to fall off before we're like, nah, man, you're just not the right guy. Yeah, and then Pagosa Raider is, I think, a lot like what I just said. I'm right there with you. Even I wanted him fired last year. I tried to stay positive this year. Today broke that bubble. Seems like the only ones left on the Kingsbury bandwagon are the Kool-Aid spewers.
Yeah, I'm not a Kool-Aid spewer, but I think today may have been it for me too. Just because it was, I can't, like I just said, I can't come up with any real excuse as to why we would lay such an egg against such a, I don't know. I was about to say winnable team. That's not the right words, but words are failing me, y'all. They're escaping me fast.
Yeah. DFW Texan. I'm in the same boat. He's replying to Fat, Sexy, Bald Guy. It's effing inexcusable to put up 6 points against that team. You can't script one trick play to get into the end zone. Both QBs look like shit, and we've had both for years. I have been among the biggest Kool-Aid chugging Cliff fans, but I can't justify it after a performance like that. And then he goes on to say, there's no need to trash Kingsbury, that we can be amicable, but decide it's also time to move on.
Yes, and I hope people look at it this way. I think Kingsbury, if this is the end, which I kind of don't see how it can be or can't be, then that the fans do act as he suggested. They're, you know, recognize him as a Red Raider because he is. What he did for the school, you know, the immeasurables that don't pay off on a football field. He ran a clean program. He's got a good graduation rate, you know, all that stuff that some people care a lot less about than they probably should. But let the man go. Whatever he does next beyond this, you know, everyone should wish him the best of luck. And I really think he's going to land somewhere as an OC probably, and probably have a lot of success, but it just sucks, man. You want this to work out so bad, or I do. And I think you did too. Of course, nobody wants their coach to be terrible or to have won 19 conference games in 6 years or be under 500 for 6 years. No one wants that.
Yeah, that 19 conference wins over 6 years, averaging a little over 3 conference wins a year. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
J. Wade Howard, this is back to Twitter, says, someone has to answer for the 0-4 streak. Who is it? I would say the head coach, obviously. Everything rolls up to him. Side note, after going 2-0 in the throwback this season and 0-4 since they were put into storage, if you want to get into the uniform conspiracy.
Uniform watch. I'm on board with it. Let's blame it on that. I'm cool with it.
Yeah. Jazz F. She says, I have no words. Here's a Deadpool toy instead. And she sent me a picture.
It's a really cool plush Deadpool toy. He's holding a unicorn. He's winking. It's very nice. Appreciate it. We really appreciate that. That helps. Helps a lot.
So here's a question I don't have an answer to because I haven't really put a lot of thought into it. I'm not really enthralled with the options that I've seen. Mulehorn 117, who's your top candidate for a Cliff replacement if it comes to that? Well, I think it comes to that. I think there's lots that we can, there's a lot of time that we can spend him and hawing on that and breaking down everybody that their name gets thrown out there. I think that we need to divest in the air raid.
Yeah.
And not that your next coach can't be an air raid coach. That can't be the reason why he was hired. You need to go out there and get the best coach available. The best coach that you can afford. Because I don't think it, you know, it's not time to do something stupid like go hire a Les Miles. I just don't think you can be tied to, you know, oh, he's an alum or, oh, he runs a certain system. You need to go get the best available. And I don't know who that is right now.
I do. It's Lane, by God, Kiffin.
Oh, gosh.
That's who you go get. Because none of these other guys that are in the conversation, I mean, not that it matters because it's such a pointless thing to be concerned about. None of them are exciting. You know, all the guys that all the names that keep getting thrown around, you know who they are. Yeah, let's bring him in. It's going to be great. We'll go 5-7 next year and we might go 6-6 the year after. But even if, I don't know, I think if you're going to go 5-7 anyway, going 5-7 with Lane Kiffin is going to be a hell of a lot more interesting.
It's a lot more fun.
Oh, yeah. Just dive right in. Go for it. Embrace the weirdness of it. And I'm not really being facetious or anything. I'm being half serious. That's who I would, if, to bring some excitement into the program and get some people kind of pumped, that's the only name I can think of that would generate some buzz and generate people going, oh my gosh, wow, I can't believe they did that. let's see what they let's see what he can do. Let's see what he's up to. You know, you bring in the Latrells or the Browns or whatever of the world, and it'll be a very ho-hum reception. No offense to those guys. And they, if they end up coming here, they may very well be great. But just thinking right now after this 21-6 debacle, I'm thinking for a splashy hire, which kind of goes into another question that we had.
Which we'll get to that in a second. I'm trying to find a comment that Keith made I want to share with you guys. Give me a second.
Was it on the Twitter?
No, it was in Slack. I'm just trying to I guess it was a lot further back than I remembered it. Oh, here we go. 5:15. This is like while the game is still going on. Early in the second half. Keith says, "We're going to get a new coach and win the Big 12 with this same damn team." Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't respond to that then, but I don't think that's the case.
I don't know, man.
It's possible. I mean, we're losing a lot of guys on defense.
You're losing two.
Two of the best guys on your defense.
All right. Put in pit. This is Brian says, "How much longer will the purchase of my seasonal candles be able to distract me from my sorrow?" It depends on how good they are. They were buy one, get one tonight.
Oh, were they really?
That's congrats good on the sale. Samantha bought like a S ton of seasonal soaps from Bath and Body Works. I wasn't there, so I can't really partake in the enjoyment of purchasing them, but I will enjoy using them.
Dang right. I love a good candle. We hosted I think I mentioned it previously, we hosted a baby shower for some friends. I say we, I was there. And they gave my wife a candle for hosting, and you know, they mentioned something to me like, "Oh, we should have got you something." I was like, "No. No, no, you shouldn't have." And P.S. I love candles. This is great. This works out for everybody.
Okay, Briggsy at Old School Sig says, "Say you have two candidates. One is a splashier hire with recognition, and the other is an up and coming coaching savant, but way less experience. Which do you hire?"
Splash, all splash.
Well, and I was gonna say go with the up and comer, but he says with way less experience. It's like, well, we've tried the up and coming, way less experience.
Yes,
I mean, Kingsbury was a little bit of both, right? He was splashy. He had recognition around here, but he was also considered up and coming and way less experience.
Yes.
Like he was the worst of both of those. Yeah. I would say at this point, you probably have to go splash. I mean, you've got to get some fan base buy-in. You've got to bring some guys back in. Maybe this is a temporary hire, you know, somebody that may only be here a couple of years. Several years. But you would think if that person's leaving on, then they found success. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay losing a coach because he was successful here.
I can deal with that too.
Because it's a whole lot better than what we're getting now.
Which is why you get Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin comes here. He wins 7 games 1 year. He wins 9 or 10 the next. And he's gone. And then you go with the coaching savant with less experience, and you've kind of built some trust back into your fan base, because your fans are completely, I wouldn't say they're gone, but they don't trust this team anymore. It's evident at the games, just the attendance alone. It's evident on social media. It's evident when you talk to people. My friend Adam was, I think it was before the OU game. He lives in the DFW area. Forgive me if I get this wrong, Adam, but he texted me today. He said that he was out on the town that day wearing Tech gear during game day, and he ran into other people wearing Tech gear, and everybody was still kind of buzzing, still kind of excited. Same thing happened today before the Kansas State game, and everybody was apathetic. No one really, you know, it wasn't so much that they thought Tech would lose today. They just didn't care. And there's a lot of fans that are getting to that point or have been there for a year or two. And I think a splashier hire is one way to combat that a little bit. Try to get some butts in the seats that you continue to raise prices on and that you continue to add despite not winning games at home. And maybe that'll kind of right the ship a little bit. We'll see. Unfortunately, I think we're going to have to see.
Yeah, so that was our last question or comment from Twitter. I'm just going to leave it here and just say we'll have an interesting discussion on Tuesday about probably a whole lot more into the coaching carousel carousel-ness that'll happen just around the country in general, and kind of look into some more stats. I'm going to have some time on my hands that I can actually do some research going into it. So,
well, and for everybody talking up Latrell, they lost to 4-7 Old Dominion earlier this year. So they're not, you know, he's capable of laying an egg just like everybody, but it just seems like sometimes when people throw these names out, they know it's a certainty. Like, oh, he would do so much better. He would do so much better here. Yeah, he might. We don't know. And I'm not excited about the prospect of any of these guys, aside from maybe Lane Kiffin.
Well, all right, man. With that, we're going to wrap it up tonight. Thanks for joining us on another post-game podcast of the 23 Personnel Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.